Welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast, The Use of Models. Hi, I'm Nathan Ives. Along with my co-host, Howard Dickens, we would like to welcome you to this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, The Use of Models. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve better results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag posts found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. This podcast examines the best practice of using models during the performance of a strategic analysis, thereby bringing tried and tested knowledge and experience to, and increasing the amount of data that can be meaningfully evaluated by, the strategic analysis team. And so now, without any further delay, let's get started. Hey, Howard, how you doing?
Hey, buddy, what's happening? This is Howard, absolutely. How has your week been?
Well, you know, it's been kind of busy this week, but busyness is usually the sign of employment security.
You know what? That's a good thing right there, to be busy, but to be busily doing something. And I know that you're busily doing something and not just busy work.
Yeah.
And me knowing you.
It does feel like a true value add. So walking away satisfied is always good. And how about you? How's your week going?
You know, it's been an adventure. I tell you, I've had an adventurous week and I've been learning a lot about myself and, you know, what I'm capable of doing, what things I need to put aside and to prioritization. Strategy. I mean, all of those things I've been learning this week.
Oh yeah.
What's important here? And I tell you, that's one of the most important things is being able to realize that, you know, it's when it's time to prioritize, you know, not just your workload, but your work life. You know, so make sure you have that work life balance. Mm-hmm. You know, that's so important that, you know, we include that type of thinking, you know, during our day, during our week. Hey, you know, how am I doing? How am I prioritizing my work so that my life is, you know, is balanced, that I'm not putting too much pressure on myself, you know, to try to get things done. And mm-hmm. I tell you, that's so important. You know, I was talking to some leaders today about, you know, I understand how they, you know, when it comes to leading people and managing things, you know, sometimes it, you know, you can get up on any given day and you feel like you're about to do some, you know, jump through hoops or perform some type of circus acts. Mm-hmm. And well, I had to let them know that I wasn't preparing them to jump through any hoops or perform any circus acts, but I introduced them to some tools that would help make their, you know, make the way they lead people or develop their skills and competencies in a more effective and efficient way. And, you know, that's something that really needs to happen in our organizations and, you know, in the businesses, you know, learn how to do things more efficiently, especially when we're talking about, you know, using, human beings, you know, because, you know, they have their face with so many outside issues, external issues, as well as internal issues. And, you know, we have to always think about that, especially if we want the best human performance, you know?
Oh, I know. And it is not just about doing the right things, but it's about doing the right things well.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
And what you've described too, I mean, we could title that the strategy-driven life.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's good.
Yeah, because it's all about setting personal priorities, that personal mission statement, those personal goals. And we can't do it all, just like an organization can't do it all, and prioritizing and going after those things that are most important to us. And that really helps us achieve that balance because work is not the end all be all of everything. We have a lot of personal necessities that, I know I can forget or allow to slip, and it's often so important to bring that back in focus and reset those priorities so that we're really working on those things that are most important to us. And a lot of times, those things that are most important aren't in the office. They're at home.
Wow, that's powerful. I mean, that sounds like a title of a book there, Nathan, Strategy Driven Life.
Well, yeah, but my friend, I'm thinking you're probably a better person to write that book than I am. I might stay
Well, if
with
I
the
do, I may need hey, if I do, I may need to get your help on it.
business. Hey, no problems.
With that said, Nathan, in the past several podcasts, we've talked about the influence and contribution specific individuals can make to not a strategy-driven life, but to a strategic analysis.
Yes.
And in this podcast on the use of models during a strategic analysis, though, I realize that we're going to cover a somewhat different topic, and instead of focusing on people, we'll be focusing on methodology.
Well, you're right, Howard, but I also don't want our listeners to lose sight of the fact that by using models to perform strategic analysis or in the performance of a strategic analysis or really any other type of assessment, we're really pulling in the knowledge and experience of a lot of experts. The experts that brought their knowledge to bear in making those models in the first place.
That's an important point, Nathan. But before we get started, let's just briefly outline what we're going to talk about during this podcast,
Okay.
okay? First, we'll be discussing why models should be used during a strategic analysis. And next, we'll identify the specific benefits of using models. And then we'll talk about the risk of using models. Fourth, we'll describe what to do if a situation arises where an appropriate model is not available to support an evaluation. And finally, we'll provide a reference for learning more about specific models and their use.
Hey, sounds great to me.
Well, then, let's get started.
Okay.
Now, Nathan, using models sounds like just another thing to do, what is already a complicated task.
Yeah.
Now, why should organizations use models when performing their strategic analysis during business planning?
Well, Howard, really in today's world, we have a really data-rich environment, and it's often difficult to identify meaningful patterns and relationships between all that, all those mounds of data that's really going to yield the information that the organization's decision makers need to set the direction of the company. Okay? Then additionally, we've got complex market environments that are creating an additional multitude or mound of data in addition to what we've got internally. And that really realistically prevents one person from having the knowledge and experience to be able to see every business opportunity or vulnerability. So in order to derive compelling information from all this data and to present it in a simplistic, and understandable manner that is then actionable, you know, that's really the challenge that every business analyst faces. And it's where models can be used to really help in getting this message honed.
Okay. But is there a deeper, more specific value to the use of models, Nathan?
There really is a threefold value proposition to using models. First, models harness the knowledge and experience of people, both internal and external to the organization. Knowledge and experience that's been tried and tested under a multitude of circumstances. So if I was just to give a couple examples of popular models that are taught in most business schools, for instance, one, we have the Boston Consulting Group's Growth Share Matrix, which is a model that portrays a business's portfolio of investments based on relative market share and relative growth within an industry. Then we have another model that's very similar but gives us a little different perspective. This model is called the General Electric Business Screen, the development of which was contributed by the McKinsey Consulting Group. Now, this model portrays business portfolios as a function of an industry's attractiveness and the business's strength and competitive positioning within the industry. Now, both of these models were developed by some of the brightest minds in business and have been used for years by companies of all types and in all industries to assess the appropriateness of their investment portfolios. And so they really have been fine-tuned over time, and they bring in all this knowledge into our organization, which then we can leverage with the skills and the knowledge and experience of our own internal people to get the most out of the data that we have before us. That's the first benefit. The second benefit is that models typically are very easy to update. Sometimes they're automated.
That's good.
Yeah, so results can get provided in near real time if desired. And then, you know, if we consider some simple relational models, for instance, one that collates a company's sales to gross domestic product, you know, we can take the backward-looking portion of that model, and then we can take some of projections by economists, you know, leaders in that field of study of what GDP was going to do, and then we project forward based on those historic relationships what we might expect to see in our company. So, again, you know, something very easily updated, and it gives us a quick return on our in time investment that we're putting in from the model and saves us from having to do computations through piles of data. Third, and I don't think this can be understated or maybe I should say overstated, models present information in a very simplified view. And they're also commonly tailored to suggest a particular course of action. And not all models, but most, are going to represent data graphically. And what this really does is it helps leaders to see the patterns and discern information more readily than they would otherwise do by reading tabular data. And so it's that visual representation, that visual comparative nature of models that let us quickly see how certain pieces of data relate to others that allow us to see or draw out of the data the information we need to make these decisions quickly.
Nathan, now you've mentioned a number of models here. Now, I really can't help but think that there'll be times that the results from one model might conflict with that of another. Does this ever happen?
Oh, it does. It does, Howard. As with any tool, there does exist a certain risk when using models. Applying the wrong model to a particular circumstance can provide information that is not only different than what another model might be telling us, but it might actually drive us to take some inappropriate action if we believe the model that is giving us this somewhat misleading information. Constructing an overly simplified picture by using a model also presents the risk of omission of influential nuances that may substantially change the realization of our desired outcomes. Some models rely on subjective or experience-based information and do so more than others, which makes the results susceptible to higher variation and presents us again with another case where models might give us differing answers or suggest different courses of action. Okay, so because this can occur, the individuals using models and analyzing the results, they have to fully understand the models and the data's limitations, as well as the situation for which the model is valid. Okay. The other thing I would suggest, because again, this is a real risk of using models, is that results, especially extremes, should always be validated for what I'll call reasonableness and applicability. So, and I think it's probably worth mentioning here too that we'll discuss how to reduce the risk of model use in our next podcast, which is on using a diverse set of models.
That's good. That's good. Now, I would believe that there'll be times where an applicable model will not be available for a particular situation or circumstance.
Oh, that's correct, Howard. And during those times, we would suggest that the organization use a multidiscipline assessment team, which we talked about in, of course, our previous podcast. And that's so that it helps to bring to bear an increased level of knowledge and experience, as well as raising the amount of data that the team can analyze within the time frame that they have. And by using a multidiscipline team, as we've discussed previously, we get kind of what we're trying to get with models. We get a convergence of a broader knowledge and experience base. So it helps us do a more thorough analysis of the data. I'd also suggest that if we don't have a model to bring in outside experience, that the multidiscipline team would be further enhanced if we were able to get some peers participating in the assessment from outside the organization. And again, it just widens that knowledge and experience base that we're going to use in the absence of having a model.
I'm laughing because this sounds like a recommendation to listen to our last podcast, Strategic Analysis Multidiscipline Teams.
Well, it is, and that's a good plug. If folks haven't listened to that's really a good one to go back and study.
Oh, one last question, Nathan. Now, I know it wasn't the purpose of this podcast, but is there a reference our listeners should consider to learn more about specific models used in strategic analysis?
There is. The one we would recommend is a book titled Essentials of Strategic Management by J. David Hunger and Thomas L. Whelan. I've used this book for years, and it's one of the most used books on my bookshelf. The cover's all bent and the pages folded, highlighting everywhere. It's a great book. It's not a thick or a hard read, so one can go through it quickly, but it has not only the models and it takes you through how to use them, but it really puts it in the setting of doing a strategic analysis so you can see how they stack on one another. And again, as we talk about diverse models in the next podcast, they talk about how models relate to each other and how they can give us a different perspective. So I've really enjoyed this book. I'd recommend if any of our listeners are looking for a book on strategic planning in general and strategic analysis and models specifically, that this is the one to get. Again, Essentials of Strategic Management by J. Mm-hmm. David Unger, Thomas L. Whelan. Yes. That book, we have a link to Amazon from our website in the right-hand sidebar. You'll see a picture of the book. It'll take you there. And just for full disclosure, anyone that purchases a book on Amazon through that link, we, meaning Strategy Driven, does get a little bit of a kickback from Amazon on the purchase price of the book. And that goes back into deferring our website hosting costs, and that it's a pretty nominal kind of thing.
Very good plug there, Nathan.
Yeah.
Very good. And I mean, a great job tonight as well. I tell you, I was writing down that name, getting that name down, J. David Unger and Thomas L. Whelan, as I was taking notes here. And let me see how I've done on my notes. Okay. Let's
okay.
do a recap.
You always do great, by the way.
Thank you. First, here we go.
Yeah.
We stated that in today's data-rich world, it's often difficult to identify the meaningful patterns and relationships that yield information decision makers need to set the direction of their organizations, and that models help analysts not only evaluate, but to present information in a simplistic, understandable, and actionable manner.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And next, we said that models are powerful tools because they harness the knowledge and experience of people, internal and external, to the organization. Mm-hmm. Knowledge and experience that has been tried and tested under a multitude of circumstances.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They are easily updated, often automated, providing results in near real time and present information in a simplified view that's commonly tailored to suggest a particular course of action.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Now, we also stated that there exists certain risk when using models, and that applying the wrong model to a particular circumstance can provide information that drives inappropriate actions, leading to disastrous results.
Yes.
And that constructing an overly simplified picture risks omission of influential nuances that may subsequently challenge the realization of desired outcomes. And that some models rely on subjective or experience-based information that others, making their outcomes more susceptible to variation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to account for these limitations at risk, we said that those using models and analyzing their results must fully understand the models and the data's limitation as well as the situations for which the model is valid, and that the results, especially extremes, should always be validated for reasonableness and applicability.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, finally, we stated that there'll be times where an applicable model will not be available for a particular situation or circumstance, and that during these times, the use of a multidiscipline assessment team helps bring to bear an increased level of knowledge and experience, as well as raising the amount of data that can be evaluated.
That's absolutely correct.
Did I do a good job of taking notes?
You did an excellent job, as always.
Well, you did an excellent job tonight. I tell you, I tell you, I just get so fired up about these podcasts and the awesome work you do. And I tell you, you really put a lot into this one, Nathan.
Well, thank you, Howard. You know, I want to thank our listeners, too. You know, we were ranked number 3 of over 2,000 business podcasts on Podcast Alley last month. And that, yeah, you know, that I know I don't take it for granted. That doesn't happen if our listeners don't vote for us. And we appreciate everyone that got out there and, you know, gave the couple clicks it takes to give us that plug on Podcast Alley. So that's great. Though we're still looking for that first, you know, hopefully positive feedback on iTunes. my bi-weekly plug for iTunes, you know.
Yes, I'd like to say thank you to our listeners as well. I we really do appreciate you, and we know that we would never be ranked at this spot, you know, without you. So thank you for listening. Thank you for, you know, ranking us at number 3 definitely says that, you know, there's some things out here, or there's some things or some nuggets in the information that's shared that you need and want. And that's a good thing. So thank you very much.
Yeah. And Howard, thank you.
You're very welcome, my friend.
All righty.
Now I'm going to go to sleep.
You sleep well.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. We would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. Note that additional information regarding strategic analysis is contained within the Strategic Analysis White Paper, accessible by registered members on the Strategy Driven website. Registered members also gain access to the many Strategy Driven White Papers, models, and members-only categories, and registration is always free. Until next time, so long.